Now then, as you will see, there is a little bit of a change in the weather. But with that in mind, says he, I am joined by two of the finest from Dublin City Council, Madeline Ebbs and Ciarán O'Mahony. Good morning, guys.
Hi,
how are you? How's it going?
What have the good people of the area, even the region even, to look forward to, guys? Because we are told that this is a temporary blip in the weather that's coming. Kids are off. A lot of people maybe not going away on a foreign holiday this year for one reason or another. But I know Dublin City Council have loads of them to do in the area.
Well, that's a bit of a wide introduction. So I suppose summertime for us is a lot of linking in with community groups and residence groups as they run their own family fun days and stuff like that. Then we have, we'll just mention a few of the projects we're working on, really, because the specific highlights we thought we'd mention today. So I'm just going to talk a bit about the Older Persons Council and setting up that, the new Older Persons Council. And in one of the books that they've launched, the Age Friendly City have launched, which is a guide to age friendly communication. And I think Madeline's going to talk about one or two of her
projects that are going on at the moment.
In the local area. So we'll just do a kind of a general look
at what's happening, because a lot of people, and I have found this from doing this programme over the years, a lot of people don't know that there are things going on in their area until they see somebody setting up, until it's over.
That's right.
You know, so that's a lot of the issues. So we like to get you guys in, maybe ahead of schedule, or well ahead of schedule, and get it out there. So the age thing, Ciarán, that, I won't say it amuses me, but a lot of people might be thinking, who are of a certain age, let us say, and we won't put a figure on it, who would be thinking, ah, that's only for old ones. That doesn't involve me, when they're actually in that bracket themselves. You know, nobody likes to admit, I suppose, that age creeps up on them. So, I suppose, what age group are we aiming at here?
Well, the official age that they put out is 55 plus, but as we know, 55 is very young, and there's a mix on the new members of the committee, I suppose, range from, I would say, late 50s to mid 70s, maybe. So, I suppose what we're interested in, we are interested in getting people who link in their own local areas to older persons' issues or have experience working in the area. So a lot of our members are bringing information from maybe a community group that they work in already. For example, two ladies from the Tuesday Club in Fairview, which is a great voluntary club that meets once a week in Carlton Hall.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah, and they cater for like people who would be of the older, more elderly people who often don't get out of their house, and they arrange transport and all for them to come up to this club, and they do a lot of exercise and singing and stuff like that. So that's one example. We actually have two of our new members are DJs on Near FM. So we have Michael Sullivan and Connie O'Reilly. So we've all range of people's skill set and ages too. And I suppose what we're looking for is maybe a dynamic group of people, and we already have that, which is great, with the new people who really are able to push for local issues affecting older people to be kind of brought up at a citywide level. So there's different structures where people get involved at this level, and then it goes back into the city, and then policy can be changed. It's very much about, on the committee, about sharing stuff that's already going on, that's working, and spreading it out across. For example, there's an age-friendly cafe in Raheny that meets once a month, and it's very successful. And there's lots of examples of that sort of stuff around our area, and we're lucky enough to link with a lot of people who give a lot of time back. So, you know, that's just a bit of a summary.
I suppose people who know the area would say, you know, we take most of what can be defined within the parameters of Coolock.
Yeah.
Right? Raheny, Artane, Cholester, Donnymead. That's a very settled area. Now, settled means that the population is aging. So, I mean, the obvious thing to me, I know, yes, people do, unfortunately, pass on. But I would think that this could be hugely important because the age profile in those areas is actually increasing. I know, yes, there are younger people obviously growing up, and we'll talk about that with Madeline in a minute. But that the it's a very settled area. People are in it for a long, long time. Obviously, they're aging. So the amount of people who would should know about this and make use of it is growing.
Yeah, yeah. Very much so. Like in most of our areas, as you said, the areas you mentioned also, we have Fairview Marino and Beaumont and areas that there is Whitehall now and Santry, and there is quite a high ageing or older person population. So a lot of our community groups are older people's groups. I mean, there's a huge amount of age-friendly active retirement groups. The men's sheds has really kicked off in this area. We've 10. And they're mainly all retired men, social groups. So a lot of, I suppose, a lot of the real nuggets of community information and, I suppose, experience comes from that age group. And I suppose that's why this is very important for this area because, a lot of the answers are already there. We just have to link with people to kind of try and get the information spread out.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's I think it's something that should be, you know, really highlighted more because we hear a lot from certain politicians who are very vocal on the in the area of rural isolation, and it's an argument or a point that I have made over the years doing this that, you know, you don't need to be living up a boreen in the middle of nowhere to be lonely. You can be lonely inside in a very big city.
Absolutely.
If you don't get out and, you know, interact with your neighbours and interact with the community around you. Like, it can be a very lonely place. Madeline, to come to you, we were talking off air there about the Stardust Park.
Okay, can I just make a point on the
older
older people? Some people kind of have a problem with being identified as an older person or age friendly. So what we're trying to do is make it, you're part of the community, you're part of the city, and make it all inclusive. Just because you're a little bit older doesn't make you any different to someone in their 20s and their 30s. So what we're trying to do is get people who have a lifetime and wealth of experience to come back and share this with younger people. So maybe, I don't know whether we need to take that age friendly or older age, maybe we need to take that out of the equation altogether. Isolation, you're dead right. You don't have to be living down the middle of the country to be isolated or lonely. Technology has isolated a lot of people. Technology has made the loneliest people in the world. You see it all the time. People have thousands of friends on Facebook. They die tomorrow, there'll be nobody at their funeral because all their friends are all these fake friends on Facebook because people have lost touch with real people. There's older people out there now and their kids think it's okay to make a phone call or do a Skype call to them once a week and they feel, oh, sure, I'm seeing my mum, I'm seeing my dad. They're not. It's all this virtual stuff now and people have totally lost a grip on reality and mixing with people and it's really, really sad. So we actually, Sam Kieran, work really hard to include people who feel they are socially isolated. We have, over in the Stardust Park, which is right across the road, we set up a walk there 3 years ago. It was aimed at young mothers coming back from the schools with buggies. As it happened, an older age profile group came along to that walk and the age profile now is 55 to 85. They've been there for 3 years. Lovely group of people meet every Tuesday morning at 9:30 and they have made great use of the park. So in the meantime, I had a scheme I put up into the Darndale Park 4 years ago where I got locals who were unemployed to go in and work in their own areas in the park. The park, not to bore you with all the details, has turned from a no-go area into the most one of the most beautiful aesthetic parks you could actually go to now. We have a very successful football club. We have Park Run Ireland up there. And last night we set up an angling fishing club up in Darndale. So I wanted to duplicate that over in the Stardust now. We have four men through a collaborative approach with the Northside Partnership, the NCU and the DSP and ourselves, Dublin City Council. We have people now on CE scheme working over in the Stardust. So I hope if there's people listening this morning that when they're walking by the park, don't walk by it, go through it, say hi to the guys. They're there in their high-vis jackets and they're going to be cleaning and planting. And Parks, Fergus O'Carroll and Brian Dowling, Parks, Dublin City Council, have great plans to actually turn that park into, I'd say, one of the most beautiful parks on the north side.
And, you know, it's something, and I'm delighted for both your inputs this morning, but and I know you're a regular contributor with John Healy, Madeline, but I'm delighted to get that input, that last minute and a half from you, because it's a drum I have been beating here for a long time, that the country's media will descend on this area if there's a bad news story.
Absolutely.
You're after giving two or three brilliant instances there of good news stories in the area. Ciarán before you with his with the active age profiling groups and all that, they're great news stories. That's what we need to be emphasising. I mean, there is the good in this area far, far outweighs the bad.
I absolutely agree with you. And as I'm always saying to John Healy down here, our job, we have a really nice job to do, but we couldn't do our job without the input of people out there and volunteers from all ages, from young right up to 80, 90 years of age. They make our job easy. We have made amazing links with people in the area. We've made actually great friends in the area. But the volunteers out there, the people that go out with the football clubs, that stand out there hail, rain, snow with kids, never get any accolades for that, but they stand out there in freezing cold fields with the kids. They're keeping them out of trouble. They're keeping them away from stolen cars, drugs, the whole lot of it. These are the real heroes on the ground, the volunteers who run the football clubs, the boxing clubs, the fishing clubs. And around Coolock in particular and around Kilmore, we have amazing volunteers who have done amazing work with young kids.
I have for years described volunteers in this country as the glue that holds society together, because without them, as you said, how many boxing clubs, how many football clubs, how many soccer clubs, you know, wouldn't be in existence.
I mean, for me, I suppose a lot of the volunteerism that we see still comes from a certain age profile, you know, and it can be passed down from family members to family members.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, does something like, I think there's four or five voluntary summer projects in this area that Dunsink Council would support that are run. I think Super Cool, the one in Coolock, is running something like 40 years and cases for over 200 kids. Artain, something similar. We see this, the people who are traditionally involved in it, their children coming in and becoming young leaders in that. It's something that, you know, there has been a fear that volunteerism is dying out, and I mean, we're lucky enough to link with volunteers. It's something that if people see their own parents doing, they're more likely to do it. So we really, really promote that. You know, Madeline's given examples of volunteers of all ages, but a lot of the volunteerism is still done by people who could be seen as being in the older category. Depends on the age profile you take. And I suppose it's hard with people are much busier, but there is something great to be said for people who go out and give something back.
I say the likes of that Kilmore Football Club out there, that's run by volunteers. There's an amazing couple live over there in Kilmore, the Derbys, Frank and Rosemary Derby, Dean Russell, who's involved in the football in Kilmore. Then you have up in Darnell, a fella called Thomas Daly up there, who is just, I don't know, he's just an amazing character. The stuff he does up there and the way he can get the kids to kind of link in with him. The club up there had 6 kids in it last Christmas. They have 130 kids in it now. And then, as I say, this angling club set up last night. And actually, we had an 18-year-old youngster in here yesterday, Holly, can't think of her surname, Holly McCabe, 18 years of age, and apparently champion, a fisher person. And she now has gone on board now to teach younger kids up in the Darndale and surrounding areas how to fish.
And isn't it a funny thing, Madeline? I just want to harp back to something you said earlier on. It really, you're killing two birds with one stone. You are, to follow on from Ciarán's point, you are re-emphasising and bringing a new generation into volunteerism, but also the most basic skill that anybody can have is the ability to communicate with one another. By doing this, they're learning those skills. They're learning life skills as well, of course.
Absolutely.
Without realising it. Whereas the flip side of it is, like you said, they're sitting at home on a computer, they're Skyping, they're texting, they're WhatsApping. There's not real communication.
No.
Like, I do often wonder, I probably won't be around to see it, but will we see a generation, if things don't change, that will not have the ability to communicate with one another?
I think we're seeing it already. And it's really, really sad. That's why we would really advocate sports and getting kids into sports. They need it. You need that outlet. You need to be out in the fresh air. You need to be running around. You need to be mixing with people. You need to have actual friends. Virtual friends are no good at the end of the day. You need real people in your life.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a funny thing. As somebody like who would have played a lot of sports in the younger years, it teaches you a lot about life as well. It teaches you about cooperating. It teaches you about being part of a team. But I think the best lesson that it can teach you is that sometimes life isn't fair and you don't win all the time and not everybody is a winner. Whereas there seems to be, I don't know, and we're probably getting off the topic, but it's a very interesting chat to have anyway. There seems to be a, I don't know what you would call it, a mindset maybe being profited at the moment that if you do the right thing and if you do this, you can do whatever you want and you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, yes, but not always in life.
Yeah.
Life will always throw you a curveball.
Yeah, there's a real fear. I mean, Madeline talked about it there and you brought it up in relation to social media, internet, young people using it, and I suppose people putting out this perfect lifestyle and existence that other people want, and then there's reality TV shows. People want to become celebrities now, that's what people say in school. There's a huge increase in social anxiety among early teenage young people and school refusal, and I suppose the internet's in all our lives and it the values of it are very clear, but for someone who is struggling with socialising and contact, human contact, it can be very detrimental, and I suppose that's the backlash from a lot of this.
Are Ciarán and Madeline, any kid, and I mean most teenagers, especially in the younger teens, we'll say from even 12 up to, 16, 17, there's a high degree of insecurity.
Absolutely.
I mean, the internet is no place to be if you have any degree of insecurity.
We need to get back to solid foundations, solid parenting, and parents need to continue parenting and not depend on the kid's phone and the internet to do the parenting for them, and that's what's happening. And there's also this sense of it's new, I'm reading a lot about it lately, parents because there's a lack of some sort of communication with the kids, they have this sense of they have to be the best at everything, they have to win at everything, and parents are kind of endorsing this. And there's, because they're not out socialising, they're not out taking part in things where they might lose the race or they might lose the match, and everyone, it has this perception that they have to be the best at everything, and everyone can't be the best at everything. You know, you're going to be good at some things, you're going to be bad at other things, but these are all the life skills people are losing out on because of the internet, you know. So that's why we just keep pushing the sports here, and we do our best to support all the volunteers and the people who are involved with the kids in sport here. Just another real impressive thing, the group of people that walk in the Stardust every week, they saw their mobility, improving as they were doing the walk. And then we came up with this other idea about creating a gym session in a gym for older people, and again, to increase their mobility, their physicality, and again, their interpersonal skills, socialising. So for the last year, we have about 25 people, age between 55 and 75 now, trained twice a week in a local gym, and they're called the Fitness Legends Programme. And it's amazing to see some of the people who went from kind of barely being able to walk around the park now that I can't even keep up with them. The fitness level has improved greatly. So, you know, there is great things happening in the area. And if people are sitting at home saying, oh, there's never anything to do, there's loads of stuff to do in the area.
And speaking of which, said he, totally turning his argument on its head, where do people go to find out what is happening in the area? That's very important.
We have we've started this walk every Tuesday morning. That feeds into a programme, Fitness Legends, down in Evolutus Gym down in Coolock. That's Monday to Friday, and that's open to anybody 55 years and up. We have line dancing classes in the area, again, for older people. We've Park Run Ireland in all our local parks in the area, in Fairview Park, St Anne's Park, Clongriffin, Father Collins Park, Darndale Park. And they, people who want to get into walking, running, you don't have to be an athlete to do it. You register with parkrunireland.ie, you get a wristband, you can go to any park in Europe, say you're on holidays and you want to continue on with your runs. You just go with your wristband, it's scanned in, and your time and your distance and all comes up by computer. If you're looking to come first, pick a park that doesn't have a lot of walkers or runners and go up and see, oh yeah, I know I'll get first here today. And you might go, say, to Darndale Park, be first this week, go to Fairview and you could be last. So it's a great challenge for yourself. The only person you're competing with is yourself, you know, to increase your mobility and your physicality. So the park runs, they're going up. We've all the summer projects. We've all our local sports halls that have programs for young people, older people. There's just loads of
just
stuff
thinking
going
of the out and about, which summarises a lot of stuff. There's a publication once a month that is sent out to people who want to register. North.central@dublincity.ie is the generic email. So if people wanted to be added onto the list for that, the listeners, most of the things that Madeline described there are listed per month.
Yes.
And then if specific things, more specific groups, are men's sheds, are ladies' clubs, are all those small, very important groups that people don't always know about, we have a lot of contact details for them if people contacted us, because we can't give anything out anymore without consent. So I suppose if we give our name at the end. But Madeline is talking about something great there around how, I suppose, the luxury of working in an area where something links and then another idea comes from it. Like, and I suppose that's an example of, I suppose, the way we can work in community development, like
networking.
And also something building on to something else.
Yes.
And I suppose that's nice to see.
Well, we're constantly doing needs analysis in our communities as well. And then we'll, if we don't have it and somebody wants it, we'll come up with a plan to get it working.
Folks, believe it or not, and you were in the door bang on 2 minutes to 11 and it's 25 past already.
I see. We could rabbit on all day.
Two things, I suppose, on the opposite end of the spectrum, and I'd like your comments from both of you on this. Number one, and I'll use a Dublin phrase here, does it absolutely wreck your head when you hear, oh, there's nothing to do?
It wrecks mine, definitely. Don't know about Ciarán.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think 3 and 4 year olds, I hear saying they're bored now. We didn't understand that until we were maybe teenagers.
I was just going to say, Ciarán, did you even understand what the word was?
No.
And you weren't, because there was plenty to do.
I think because young people are into immediacy and things are brought to them and they're into play dates and all, it is very hard to have a natural kind of, what would I say, play or...
Yeah.
That is a very interesting point, actually, that Ciarán brings up there. And I'll come back to the second item that I wanted to address in 1 minute. Is it the fact that we're living in a society now where everything is instantaneous?
I think so.
I think it gives the impression that, you know, you can get anything you want straight away, so you don't have to create the play.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, there's a lot of good examples where creative play and that is still rolled out, but I think the internet, video games, everything is brought to you in very, so your imagination is a bit zapped, and that's something, you know.
Think about it, you don't have to leave your house for anything.
You can
order your shopping online, you can do games online. Don't know whether I can spout drink at you yet, just yet, but
you
can do anything. And kids like at 2,
they know how to use all the stuff,
they know how to navigate around a phone
it
or
is
a tablet.
It is an amazing thing you say that, Madeline, because I was listening to an interview, I'd say about 2 years ago, and the interviewer put it to the interviewee that he had seen his grandson over the Christmas, where somebody had given the grandson a book, a child's book, and he took the book and went to go swipe.
Yeah.
Instead of, he actually physically at 2 didn't know how to turn the page, but he knew how to swipe. Before you go, guys, one of the, and no disrespect to yourselves, but one of the finest and the best organisations I've come across in many a long day, and I know you do an awful lot of work with them, the Northside Partnership.
Yes, we do. We work in, and the Stardust Park is one of the latest projects we're working with the Northside Partnership on that.
They're doing massive work as well in the area, you know, between here, Kilbarrick and all that as well. And
yeah, I mean, we're like, our job descriptions are similar. We link on a lot of things, and I suppose they have the employment whatever remit,
yeah,
and they would be more involved in two schemes than that. We, I suppose, what we have maybe the more expertise on is communication and contact with the very small ground grassroots level,
yes,
groups,
yeah,
that aren't so formal. And the ones that we can still give some grant support to them, but most of the stuff, as Madeline says, there is a link back and forward on a lot of big projects, so that's good. And yeah, we know the people there very well,
yes,
from over the years,
and they are, yeah, committed. They really are, along with an awful lot of other people. They really are committed to the community and providing things in the community. And like Madeline listed out there, the guts of a dozen names of people who are the real heroes and volunteering to provide stuff is the best word to describe, yeah, it in, yeah, the area. And yeah, without them, you know, and there's one thing that strikes me, and I'm going to be killed because we're going to run over slightly, but we have spoke for a half an hour, and unless I am mistaken, everything that both of you spoke about is free.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's, yeah, true.
Isn't it an, yeah, amazing thing?
Yeah.
There's nothing for you to do, and you're after listening to Madeline Ebbs and Kieran O'Mahony for the last half an hour telling you about loads of stuff in the area, and it ain't going to cost you one red cent. Madeline, Kieran, thanks a million for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Tony.
Brilliant. And look, folks,
we'll be back.
You'll be back. And that's not a threat, it's a promise. Folks, get out there. It's your area. Make use of these things, because there is an old phrase and it's a true one: use it or lose it. Those parks are there, they are in pristine condition, they're there for you to use. Get out, enjoy them, tell your neighbours, tell your friends, please, please make use of it. It can only be good. Folks, thanks a million for coming in.
Thank you.